Good morning, church family. So as you're aware, we are going through a series in Sunday Bible study as well as in the church, about the church. So today is the second week on this series, and the passage for this morning is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 2. Here Peter, Apostle Peter, articulates vivid pictures of the new church. And you can see this beautifully drawn in this passage. So let me read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for this picture. We so love your word. Help us to receive it. Help us to understand. Help us to apply it. Let these words get into our bones and let it stay for the glory of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Back in my hometown, if somebody asks, "Tell me about your church," and you can, on an average, get this kind of response. This is one of the church in my hometown. This church is known for its tower's height, the height of the tower. You know, this is from South India, a place called Menyanapuram. And in that locality, this is the tallest tower. You know, I belong to the church which has got the tallest tower. And some of them may say like this. The next one is, for those who don't know this gadget, this is called pipe organ. And if you don't know, possibly you're young. And this is so expensive and it requires a huge space. And to maintain it, we often need to call engineers from UK and US. And they talk about this. You know, our church, we have pipe organ. And we still have this kind of bells, right? The size of the bell defines the majesty of the church. You know, this, usually I thought it is the circumference, but they also taught me about, you know, the weight matters. So you keep this bell on top of the tower and we still can hear it. If you can't relate to any of this, and a contemporary outlook could look like this. You know, a stage full of nice loud music. You go in, you get that energy. How much we love our church. I was just looking for some nice churches on the right-hand side, top corner. You saw that. That's the church, by the way. Beautiful. And also, we talk about our church is a mega church. In one service, we have 10,000 people. Wow. But Peter is saying that, guys, don't get distracted by all these fancy things. And he's going to give us the definition of the new temple. That's the title of the sermon. The main idea is the new temple is not about the height of the tower. It is not about the type of the organ, nor about the size of the bell. It is about people belonging to God, built on Christ, the cornerstone, to proclaim his excellencies. What is the new temple? Tell me. People belonging to God, built on Christ, the cornerstone, to proclaim his excellencies. That's 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to see that. The first picture is newborn infants who long for spiritual milk. That's the first picture. What is a church? Newborn infants. And you can see this in chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. So before that, verse 1 says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. The church should be child friendly. Some of you who had small kids, the first time we had kids, and some of the elder members gave an advice, make the place child-friendly. You know, those who are parents, you know this. Don't allow the wire to hang on. Don't allow the small things to be on the floor because they're going to take it and pop it in. And some of it could be dangerous for their growth even. We did all of it at our home. And one afternoon we got a huge noise because our elder daughter was just pulling a cupboard. On top of the cupboard was a wooden block. It fell on her head. We need to make that place child friendly. So Peter is saying, put away all these things that is going to impact the growth of the church. What you need to put away? All malice. The desire to harm someone in the church. Oh, that sounds cruel. All deceit. A manipulation of truth. Hypocrisy. The demonstration of that. You show yourself of a higher standard than who you are. And envy. And all slander. Talking behind the back. You know what? I like this part, but I don't like this. And the first point is about newborn infants who long for spiritual milk. I was writing the sermon the first time I wrote the children of one family. Then I said, like, okay, let me stick more to the text. And then I changed it. But the idea here is a children of one family united in love. You don't have that malice. If someone in the church is getting some elevation, getting some blessed things, and you're not unhappy about it, you don't have that envy. You don't have to put a different mask. And you see this word hypocrites in the Bible quite often. In the ancient Greek, they used to have a stage play. In those dramas, they need to wear a mask, and they are called hypocrites. So that's why, because they are, if I need to be like a king, I need to wear a mask like a king and a crown like a king. But that's not me. But I'm acting. At home, nobody wears a full suit. Nothing wrong in it, by the way. And I've done that during some of the Zoom calls during this COVID time. You need to wear something like that. And there was one occasion I was wearing a full suit with a black tie and a jeans pant because they see only the top. You don't have to pretend at home. Nobody wears all sort of that makeup at home because everybody knows who you are, really. When you get up in the morning, you look so messy, and that's real. If you want to make your church a child-proof, a child-friendly, put away. The five things, and Peter is writing this to five different set of people spread across in the church, and he's saying that, okay, remove this. And the root of all these things is the lack of love. 1 Peter chapter 1. Just before this, you know, the chapters and the numbers are not spirit-inspired, and we codified it later for us to refer, and it is good. But if you see the same passage little above, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. That's the idea. When you have that love, infants, you will put away automatically. The antidote for all malice is a lack of love. The mutual love is not existing, and therefore there is a deceit. And you don't have a loving, trustworthy relationship, and therefore you have put up a mask. You're not happy with someone who's getting significance because you lack that love. And you talk behind the back because of the lack of love. But in one family, it is not like that. You're happy when someone gains significance. I still remember a couple of my cousins. They fight with each other. My uncle and aunt, they need to pay all the time attention on them. If they don't, probably they might kill each other because that's how they are. Two young boys, ferocious little cubs, absolutely on their feet to hit the other person every moment. They grew up, and the younger one went to a university where he did something wrong, and the professor took some action. The elder one was extremely angry. Yes, whatever he's done is wrong, but is this the way to respond? I'm going to take an action. I'm going to sue the university. I'm not saying all these things are right. Though they had some difference of opinion as they grow up, but they belong to one family. You know, he's my brother. Dare not touch him. That's the idea here. One family, children of one family is the church. Often Christians get angry at other believers who sin differently. Often. He shouldn't have done that, and it's a big mistake. I can't put up with that. We are all sinners. Often, this is something that provoked outside the Bible, some of the statements that provoked me, is often Christians get angry at other believers who sin differently. One of the ways in which you can get that is long. Verse 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. Pure is unadulterated spiritual milk. If you see a few words before in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, the definition of spiritual milk is given. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. Therefore, the Word of God is so central in a church. Not the bell. Not the pipe organ. Those things are good. But the Word of God is so central. Long for spiritual milk, which is the Spirit-inspired Word of God. If you see Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it is the Holy Spirit who pours out that love in our heart. You can't manufacture it. You can go out of this sanctuary with a resolution. From tomorrow, I'm going to pray 3 times a day. You can do it. But you can't say that. From tomorrow, I'm going to love. You yourself can't manufacture, and therefore you need to long for the spiritual milk, which is the Word of God. The Spirit-inspired Word, it has power to work in you and through you and remove all the 5 things, and you can put them away. Why? So that you may grow into salvation. Don't ever call me an infant. I am a matured believer. No, Peter is saying you're infants. The day you stop longing for the spiritual milk, the day you stop growing. The idea here in the church is we need to grow into the image of His Son every day. The first insight from the first part of this passage is newborn infants. Did you see this? Who long for spiritual milk grow up into salvation. That's the first part. Are you not happy with the progress of a fellow believer? No one knows. No one knows. How do you love them? Is that a demonstration of love of brothers and sisters? If you see in 1 Peter chapter 1, he used 2 times the word love. One was filio, the brotherly and the sisterly love. The second time, agape, the sacrificial love. How are we demonstrating this love to fellow believers in the church? Are you craving for this spiritual milk? We crave for so many things, right? Some of us crave for food. I used to crave for biryani. Some crave for that vacation. Yes, it's coming next week. And some crave for that relatives who are in a distant place. When can I see them? Are you really craving for this spiritual milk? I was listening to a testimony of a pastor in a different church in South India. And he said he used to work for an organization. He was a part of the manufacturing setup. Whenever there is a break, and he used to have a small New Testament, he goes in the break and he used to read it. Crave. God called him to be a pastor in a church because that's what is required. Because the more you consume, the more you grow. Infants of one family. The second picture is living stones built as a spiritual house. Verse 4. As you come to him. When you see that's this particular phrase, as you come to him, it is not saying if you come to him. Or when you come to him, it talks about the consistency of that experience. As you come to him, which is the Christ, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Verse 5, you yourself like living stones, yes, are being built up as a spiritual house. You yourself, you are the living stones, plural. In fence, plural. That's the body of Christ. That's the church. You are the living stones here. Christ is the living stone. Verse 4, it talks about as you come to him, a living stone, no S. When you go to him, let's move on. Verse 6. For it stands in scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. And you might say that's very far, very basic. We believe in Jesus Christ. The promise here is they will not be put to shame. Verse 7, so the honor is for you who believe. Yes, Christ is the cornerstone. We say that, and at times we believe on something else as well. It could be miracles. I go to this church because I receive miracles all the time. Christ is a cornerstone, yes, but also the miracle. I believe. They believe in the senior pastor. Nothing wrong. God has put them and given them a roles and responsibility. But Christ is the cornerstone. Back in hometown, a church that thrived in miracles, they believed that, okay, God can heal any sort of sickness. Yes, God can heal. I believe so. But that was the emphasis. The cornerstone was replaced with something which is a miracle. Last year, the young pastor who was giving so much emphasis to miracles and physical healing, he had COVID. Now, should I tell this to the church? No. I'm standing on the pulpit and every Sunday, and I'm saying God can heal that. He was earnestly praying for himself. Only one another believer knows about it. Because let the church not. You know? I know him personally. He passed away. The church shattered. Why? Because their cornerstone, they were believing on those kind of miracles. Do you see? The church will be shattered if the cornerstone is not Christ. I saw another example of another mega church in Mumbai. The church members so much loved the pastors, and I appreciate that. To an extent, they believe that, okay, that particular pastor alone should preach in all the services. It's a mega church. They had 7 different places. This pastor needs to take the car from one place to another. They were earnestly praying that pastor may get strength. They were not praying for other pastors to come up. They were just praying the senior pastor should come. God should provide him the strength to go to all the 7 churches around the city and preach. And that got distracted in a major way. And they said that, okay, now the church is praying for the pastor to come and preach at once, in the same time, in 7 different places. You see the omnipresence? We are praying for such a miracle. Genuinely happened, one of the believers said. They are praying now the pastor will preach, that senior pastor will stand physically and preach in all the 7 places. What will happen after his retirement? Believe in him, Christ, the cornerstone. When the church is not rooted on this foundation, it will shake. This church went through a lot. And I praise God for the believers, the living stones who are here, who are absolutely connected to Christ, the cornerstone. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, it says, and in him, not on anything else. That's what we were singing. The worship team was singing that song. In him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives. Then you become a church. You are living stones, and you become a church because you're connected to the cornerstone, and you become a dwelling place for God. If you invite somebody else who don't believe in Christ to our church, don't worry. You go to their place because you're the church. You get a chance to come to this place, the tabernacle, the building, and worship the God together, have fellowship with brothers and sisters, demonstrate that love. That's okay. But the remaining 5 days in your workplace, you take the church to them. Isn't it so amazing? When you're connected to Christ, the cornerstone, they will see Christ. Are they seeing Christ in you? Unbelievers disobey and stumble. The verse 8 looks like, as they were destined to do so, which means they were forced and programmed to do so. No, that's not the idea here. They consciously, willfully disobey. Verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, that is Christ, those who willfully reject the gospel. I don't need that gospel. They stumble. Yes. They stumble on this stone, this rock in which the church is standing today, that could become an offense because they disobey the word. That's a conscious, willful choice. Living stones built as a spiritual house on Christ, the cornerstone, is a dwelling place for God. Remember, when you go out, you don't represent Christ. You don't represent church. You are the church. And you represent Christ, who is the cornerstone. Every time you go to your office, every time you go to your university or school, you need to remember, since I believe in Christ, the cornerstone, I take this church to my workplace. It's so important. Living stones, again, it's the plural. You can't imagine a Lone Range Christian in this picture. Because there is only one living stone, verse 4, that is Christ. And all the other things are plural. Where is he or she who says that I don't need a church, I just need Christ. But that's not the picture what you get here. It is connected to Christ, the cornerstone, and when it is connected to Christ, living stones built as a spiritual house. Together, it is built as a spiritual house. How are you connected to the living stones in this church? I attend Sunday morning sermon. Yeah. I listen to it and I'm sincere. That's good. But how are you connected and built together? That's what the text says here. Years back, I was, God graciously used me in different ministries on the weekends, and especially on the teaching and the preaching ministry. And I went to some small group and I felt that there were debates, right? Sometimes the debates are good, sometimes it distracts. And I said to myself that I'm not getting anything from this, and let me not get connected. And I was listening to a pastor in a different church. Get connected to that small group because you need to be built up together. That's what the Bible says. They are built up together. Verse 5. You yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. Ephesians 2:22 gives the same idea, built up together. It's a team sport. It's actually not a sport, but I'm just giving an idea. But you need to grow together. And the pastor's message said, okay, well, you might say that I'm not getting anything from that. What if they need you? What if they need you? That struck me, yes. So I went to one of those conversations and debate, and somebody was facilitating, somebody was participating, and I also had a chance to participate. But more importantly, after that particular time, we had a time of fellowship, and we were having food. I spoke to a young man, and I'm glad that I was connected with that person. He was in the fag end of his life. Lost his job, lost his wife, completely broken. Someone called him to this meeting. And I'm glad that I went along. And together, in a few weeks' time, we went to the church building and we started reading the word together, praying together. And I believe we grow together. That's the idea. There is no single stone that forms a church. Living stones on Christ, the cornerstone. The third picture, Peter is giving royal priesthood who offers spiritual sacrifices. We talk about newborn infants, that's one picture. Living stones, that is another picture. And the third one is royal priesthood. If you see on the right hand side, that's how the priesthood would look like as per the imagination of the artist. The priesthood, they stand between God and the regular secular people. And that's a holy office. And there is a divide, and they have another office which is called the royal office, which is the king. King David, King Solomon. You can see all of them. The royal office. Though they had huge amount of power and authority, this royal office cannot cross the line. If you see the history in the Bible, when the day they cross, they get leprosy instantly. But by the grace of God, Peter is giving a powerful picture. It's not about some theology like priesthood and royalty. No, I'm going to help you with to understand this better. There is a secular office, there is a spiritual office. And Peter saying after the Christ's resurrection, this converged. And you are the royal priesthood. It is not a separate category of people in the church who serve in the ministry, the musicians, those who preach, those who pray. No. Each one of us are royal priesthood. Everyone, all the living stones and all the newborn infants, you are royal priesthood. That's the idea. That's the picture that Peter is presenting. I'm going to move forward and read it. Verse 5. You yourself, like living stones, which we saw, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. In verse 9, he uses a term, royal priesthood. In verse 5, to be a holy priesthood, why? What's the job of this holy priesthood who are sitting here? to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Oh, I have a title. I'm a holy priesthood. I'm a royal priesthood. Yes, you are. Absolutely. Everyone in the church, you are a royal priesthood. But the responsibility is to offer. You need to offer spiritual sacrifices. We're going to see some examples of that. Holy priesthood offer spiritual sacrifices. Often we hear this kind of feedback. You know, the music was not good in that church, so I don't like it. Brother and sister, you're not a consumer. You're a royal priesthood. If the music is not good, the royal priesthood would stand in the gap and pray. They won't pray, "My Father who art in heaven." They will pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." They will not pray, "Give me the daily bread." They will pray that, "Give us living stones. We are together. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us." That's a spiritual sacrifice. "I don't like this, the way that things are moving. I don't like the decision." In some churches, you hear that. "I don't like the decision of giving it to that ministry. Building a building here. I don't like it." You are the priesthood. We don't have in this game participants or spectators. We only have players. Peter says the player's name is royal priesthood. You pray and everyone plays an important role that is called. What is your offering? There's a huge difference between the consumers and the royal priesthood, because royal priesthood, they need to offer. Consumers, they get. We are all consumers in a different setting. We are seeing that in a Bible study, and Patrick touched upon it. When you go to a salon, you're a consumer. Say, "I need the nice ambience." When you go to a restaurant, you are a consumer. There are different expectations of a consumer. Sometimes they say that, "Okay, as a consumer, I go to a restaurant for food. I never look at the ambience. Right? As long as the food is good, sweaty, smelly place, I don't care." But if you ask my daughters, "Oh, the ambience is not good." You can expect all these things. But here, you're one of the living stones being built up on Christ, the cornerstone. Verse 9, very clearly, one of the spiritual offerings, spiritual sacrifices, you can see a lot of reference. It could be prayer. It could be praise. So every time you walk into the church building, you need to say, "What am I going to offer? Because I am a royal priesthood." I had a privilege of ministering as an usher in a church when I went back from ICRMK to back to India. And they told, "Okay, you are a new usher, so you go to the upstairs." Okay, upstairs, usually 10 or 15 people would come. "Okay, thank you." And I went up and I used to just wait for people to come. One, the church in the basement is full, then people would come in the upstairs. "Okay, my job is to just open the door and guide them, because the whole place is empty, so I just need not go to them." And the Lord graciously gave me an idea. "You're not just opening the door. Whoever comes in, you just need to make a small prayer for everyone." So whenever I open the door and I pray in my mind, "Lord, will you please speak to them? Will you please touch them?" That's the idea. When you come and do something, you need to offer. Verse 5 is clear. This is not my idea. This church is being built on these royal priesthoods. Today I stand here and representing a group of people who prayed. I was not keeping well last night. And a group of brothers, they prayed. Royal priesthood. A group of brothers who would give so that we pay the bills. A group of people who persevere in the ministry. Who set this mic here? Royal priesthood. Who said the place is like this exactly? When we all come, it looks like a nice place. Royal priesthood. You want to see the real royal priesthood, and you need to wait for 10 more minutes after the church. You see, some people would come and clean all the chairs. They offer spiritual sacrifices. It is biblical to say your prayer, your praise, your good works, they're all spiritual sacrifices. The thing is, you offer it. Here specifically, it's talking about one thing. Proclaim the excellencies of Him. This is not the job of a pastor. This is also a job of a pastor, but this is a job of a royal priesthood. Because now the definition has changed. What is the church doing? Next time when we ask that question, we need to look at the mirror. And, because I'm the church. I need to proclaim the excellencies of Him. Verse 9 in the same chapter. It says, but you are a chosen race, royal priesthood. Am I everyone here? Without doubt. If you have doubt, go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. You are a chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him. That's the offering that you want to give. You want to proclaim the excellencies of Him through words, through deeds, the way you live, the choices that you make in the community. You proclaim the excellencies of Christ, the cornerstone. Why? Why should I do it? There are missionaries for it. There are missionary organizations for it. Because that's the responsibility of royal priesthood. But why? Because He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Everybody sitting here, we were in darkness. Now we see this marvelous light because someone prayed, someone preached. Those are the priesthoods who tried to build and take out a stone from the pit and made the stone to be connected to a cornerstone, which is Christ, and that became a living stone. And you're sitting here. Therefore, it is important that the offering of the royal priesthood is to proclaim the excellencies. Royal priesthood offers spiritual sacrifices by proclaiming the excellencies of Him. That's the third insight. Royal priesthood offers. They get something as well, I'm sure. God is going to bless them. God is going to bless them at an appropriate time in an appropriate way because He's a righteous God. Am I just here to offer everything? Yes. For Christ, the cornerstone, because He is the cornerstone. The central element of the church is the cornerstone. Royal priesthood offers spiritual sacrifices by proclaiming the excellencies of Him as per Peter 2:9. There are other ways also you can offer spiritual sacrifices. Okay, how can I be plugged in? Please reach out to one of us. We will certainly be praying for you because that is the church. That is the difference between a like-minded community that is happening in another hotel here today. There are so many clubs that is happening. Hiking club, walking club, running club, swimming club. There are so many clubs. The difference is here, Peter is saying, very different, my friends. This is infants. These are living stones. These are royal priesthood. How are you proclaiming the gospel? In a month's time, I got a couple of messages from the church with whom I'm partnering with in a place called Bihar in India. The church members, they go out. They proclaim the gospel. These are real pictures, not Googled. I just took that from my WhatsApp and I wanted to show the reality. Royal priesthood. You know, their hands are beautiful. Because they preach the gospel. They proclaim the excellencies of Him in a dark setting because they were called out of darkness into His marvelous light. They are not from traditional Christian background. They got that gospel. And they said, I'm not going to holding it. I'm going to proclaim this to the people who don't know this. And they got a different reward here. I think I was just talking to some of the men here. Christmas is a season where you can offer the sacrifice called proclaiming the excellencies of Him. You can invite a group of friends, come home. We're going to have that candies and Santa Claus. Oh, people are so excited to come for that, right? And you preach the gospel. Proclaim the excellencies of Him, not just during the Christmas time, but that's an opportunity. Don't miss it. Every day, this royal priesthood would go and offer a sacrifice, which is proclaiming the excellencies of Him. When people around you see something different in this person. What is different? Because they have a very different love, which is sacrificial in nature. In short, he or she is Christ. Let me pull this together so that you don't forget the keywords in the text. The first picture is the yellow color. Newborn infants who long for spiritual milk. Newborn infants, exactly copy-pasted from ESV. Spiritual milk, exactly. That's how you grow. If you're not craving for the spiritual milk, pray. Don't ignore, stop everything and pray. If you don't crave for the spiritual milk, I come home, I'm waiting for the time. Pray. If not, you're not going to grow. Number two, living stones built up as a spiritual house. Get plugged in. Get connected to Christ and get united to the church. Because that's the place God is going to dwell. Thirdly, royal priesthood who offers spiritual sacrifices. You are the royal priesthood. That's for Peter. The new temple is people belonging to God, built on Christ the cornerstone to proclaim His excellencies. This is the church as per Peter. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. We have a clear picture of the church. We have a very clear picture. There are so many areas which is Christ unlike in our lives, and we are newborn babies, infants. Will you please give us the appetite to crave for the spiritual milk, which is the Word of God? We consume a lot of junk foods, Lord, we confess. But we don't consume enough the spiritual milk so that we grow up into salvation. Lord, we thank you for this picture. If there is no appetite here for someone to read the word every moment, Whenever they get time to memorize, to meditate, to cherish the word of God, will you please impart that this morning, we pray. Lord, we also clearly understood that we are the living stones. Unless we are connected and built on a cornerstone called Christ, there is no solid base, Lord. We don't have any other emphasis, any other center point in this church apart from Christ, the cornerstone. The living stones who are here today are built on Christ, the cornerstone. Into a spiritual house, we thank you for that. Will you please continue to dwell in us? As we go out to the community, let them see Christ, the cornerstone. Lord, thank you for the powerful phrase, royal priesthood. Everyone sitting here, absolutely every single person, we are the royal priesthood, and we need to offer spiritual sacrifice. We are not here to get something, but we are here to offer something. Why? Because we are royal priesthood. Thank you for the emphasis on proclaiming the excellencies of Him. Will you please enable us to preach the gospel through our words and in life and in action? Because we are called, you've called us graciously out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you for this new church, new temple. Thank you for these pictures. Help us not to forget this anytime. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.